Our reading today comes from Ruth chapter 3 and can be found on page 269 of the Church Bibles. So Ruth chapter 3. One day Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today."
Quite some passage, that one, isn't it? Didn't expect to find that in the Bible. Shall we pray as we begin? Need God's help, as ever. Our Lord, we're conscious that we are very small in the scale of things, just a few people in a world of billions. A world which is small compared to our sun, compared to the galaxies. And we know that if we try to work it out ourselves, we would know nothing at all about you. And we haven't even mentioned our sinfulness, which suppresses the truth that you long to reveal to us. And so we thank you for your word that we have before us. Thank you that you choose to speak to us and to reveal yourself and to reveal your character. And we know that it's a privilege to come to your word, and we pray that you would give us ears which are able to hear what you have to say to us today, to enjoy your words, to enjoy you, to trust you, and above all to see you and your Son more clearly. Pray this in his name. Amen. Okay, well, who do you seek out if you need help? For me, it's often my dad if it's something practical. So if something goes wrong in the house or something breaks down in the car, then he's the man, and he's there. He's ready, he's willing, he's able to help, and he's brilliant. He can get it fixed. But if it's my PC that's broken down, there's no way I'm letting him anywhere near my PC. He might be ready, he might be willing, but he's not able to do anything to fix it. So he has to steer clear of that. The thing is, we need all of those three things, don't we? If our washing machine breaks down, our car breaks down, or even our lives break down in some area or another, we need somebody who's ready to help, who's willing to help, and who's able to help us. Well, in the book of Ruth, for Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, life has pretty much broken down. And they're looking for a knight in shining armor, somebody who can come along and fix things for them. And that man, as we began to see last week, is Boaz. And Boaz is a mini picture of Jesus Christ, the man who is ready, willing, and able to help us with our deepest problem. Just in case you haven't been here, let me just get you up to speed so far with the story. The story begins with the bitter providence of God in the life of Naomi. Naomi has left home with her husband. She's gone from Bethlehem to a place called Moab, a godless place. And as a result, her husband has died. And then she's lost also her two sons. And in the course of things, she's also lost one of her daughters-in-law. But there's been, as well as the bitter providence, the sweet providence of God in her life as well. The famine in Bethlehem lifts, and Naomi goes home accompanied by her other daughter-in-law, a lovely, hard-working girl, faithful girl, great girl called Ruth. And then in chapter 2, Naomi and Ruth begin to experience God's wonderful grace, mediated to them through the agent of grace, the man of grace, Boaz. And we've learned that Boaz is a man of godly character. He's a man of worth, a man of stature, full of God, full of grace. And he prays for Ruth. He protects Ruth. He provides for Ruth food and everything they need, and for Naomi too. But as chapter 2 ends, we are left on one of those cliffhanger moments because the barley and the wheat harvest have ended. Ruth has been gleaning, gathering the grain in the field of Boaz, and the harvest has come to the end, so she won't be needed there anymore. So what's going to happen now? How will Ruth and Naomi survive? Will Ruth and Boaz get it together? Will it be a summer of love or not? Well, like every good mother-in-law, Naomi has a plan, and it's there in chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours." And here's what she's saying. She's saying, "Ruth, we've been through a lot together. I love you. You've been loyal to me. I'm going to help you to get a husband. I wonder, can we think of anyone who might sort of be suitable, who might fit into the category of husband material? Oh, yeah, who's that person you've been working with this summer? What's his name? Oh, it's Boaz, isn't it? And yeah, by the way, he's a relative of ours." Now, Ruth may not have wanted Naomi as a matchmaker, but just, well, tough. She's got her. Now, this idea of marrying a relative seems just a little bit weird to us, to say the least. But we need to understand a little bit of what's going on in this Old Testament culture, because we've already seen, actually, that God makes provision in his law to bless those who fall into difficulty and to tragedy. And so we've already seen this, the whole idea of gleaning, this idea that if you're poor, you haven't got any food, you can follow behind the harvesters and pick up the grain that's been dropped, the stalks that have been left behind to provide. So God has built grace into his Old Testament law in the form of gleaning. But he has also done it in the form gleaning, but of a guardian, or as in some of the older translations, a kinsman, a guardian or kinsman redeemer. So if you fell into debt, or you needed someone to fight your corner in the law courts, or if your husband died and therefore your family line was in danger of becoming extinct, then one of the close family members, a brother, was supposed to step up and take the place of the person. They were the guardian redeemer, a relative who would step up and fix things. And you see, God is a redeemer. He is the great redeemer of his people. And he wants us, people who have been created in his image, to be like him, to reflect him, to be ready, willing, and able to help people when they're in difficulty. Well, the question is Boaz that guy for Naomi and Ruth? Is he ready to help? Is he willing to help? And even if he is both ready and willing, is he able to help? Those are the questions we've got before us in this passage. And we come to this first paragraph, and we learn from this paragraph that we are to seek a redeemer who is ready to help. Seek a redeemer who is ready to help. So how do you get to be the bride of Boaz? Well, in the ancient world, you can't just sort of waltz up and say, are we friends or more than friends? And take it from there. No, 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 you need a plan. And Naomi has a plan. Verse 3, it's there. She says, look, Ruth, take a bath. You've been in the field all day. You're dirty, you're sweaty, and to be honest, you stink. And you can use some of my Moabite mist spray. Spray it all over, because, Bo isn't going to be impressed with your BO. And put on your best coat, because these threshing floors get a little bit nippy at night. Now, it sounds very much like Naomi is suggesting that Ruth foxify herself and get herself ready for Boaz. And she is doing that. She is doing that. She's basically asking her to tart herself up a little bit. But it's a bit more than just about being attractive. It is that, but it's also about becoming available. So if you bathed, anointed, and changed your clothing in this culture, what you were saying was, you're saying, look, I've been in mourning, but the time of the end of my mourning has arrived. And so now I'm in the market for a hubby again. That's what you're saying. Well, here's the second part to Naomi's plan, and this is where it begins to get a little bit crazy. She says, go to the threshing floor tonight. It's the end of harvest, so they're going to be having a big bash to celebrate. But I don't want you to make yourself known to Boaz until he's finished eating and drinking. And this is a pretty good tip for the ladies out there. If you want to talk to your man and he comes home, you've got to let him eat and drink first. So he comes home, he's got to have his pie and chips and then his pint. And after he's done those things, then he'll be ready to talk, but not before. It's good advice, it's biblical. But Naomi also has some bad advice here. And this is what she says. When he's relaxed, he's lying down. Remember where he lies down, by the way, because it's going to get really dark. You won't be able to see anyone at all. When he's lying down, he's asleep. Go and lie at his feet. lie down next to him, uncover his feet, and then in the middle of the night, because it's going to get nippy, gets nippy on the threshing floor, he's going to wake up with cold feet, and then what you need to do is lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Can you believe it? I bet he will. How many of you guys out there are thinking, that is great advice, I love Naomi. Let him eat and drink and lie down and do what he tells you. And how many of the ladies are thinking, no way, Naomi has gone nuts. That is a way too risky strategy. Well, what on earth is going on? I think what's going on is this, that Naomi is making progress in trusting the Lord, but she's not yet perfect. And I think that's what we see from her plan. Her time in Moab has been a time away from the Lord. It's been very bad for her spiritually, and now she's giving some bad advice. She's made some progress, because when she left Moab, it was all about three people for her, me, myself, and I. And she's self-focused, but as she experiences the kindness of God, grace begins to melt her heart, and she begins to be transformed by that grace. And so now she is beginning to think about other people, and she's beginning to think about Ruth, which is why she wants to come up with this plan for Ruth, to provide for her future, because having a man at that time was your social security, it was your protection, it was your food, it was everything, it mattered. And Naomi is beginning to think about Ruth, about other people for the first time. Grace has begun to transform her. That's what's happening. But as she left Moab, you can take her out of Moab, but there's still some Moab in Naomi. And she's thinking like a Moabite. She's got Moabite morals, which is why she comes up with this plan which puts Ruth at great risk. Maybe she thought that the ends would justify the means. Either way, she's taking matters into her own hands rather than trusting the Lord to provide. So if you're somebody who's gone off the rails spiritually, and maybe you've done that recently or a little while ago, maybe you're there at the moment, I want to say to you that there's hope for you. The Lord is very, very gracious. He's patient with people like us, sinners like us. He's patient. But I also want to say that you are in danger, or you could be in danger of doing harm to the people whom you love the most. That's what Naomi does. She does harm to Ruth. She puts her in harm's way. She puts her at risk. See, when we're off track with the Lord, we can make all kinds of suggestions, give all kinds of advice to those whom we really love. Advice about career, advice about hobbies and when you do them, advice about relationships even. Advice that's not spiritually helpful, but even harmful. And this night maneuver, whatever you want to call it, is really a bit of an eyebrow raiser. It is naive at best. But Ruth says, obedient to her mother-in-law, okay, I'll do it. And we are left thinking, well, what on earth is going to happen next? How's it going to pan out? Naomi has the plan, or at least a plan. Boaz is related, and therefore he's sort of ready to help. He's qualified. But is he willing to help? Or will he rather take advantage of Ruth? And that brings us to our second point, which takes us up to verse 12. Seek a redeemer who is willing to help. Seek a redeemer who is ready to help. Seek a redeemer who is willing to help, secondly. So verse 6, Ruth puts the plan into practice, nearly. So she goes down to the threshing floor. She waits till Boaz has finished eating and drinking, probably some good French wine, and waits until he is in good spirits. And by that, what we mean there is not smashed out of his skull, not struggling to string a sentence together, but in good spirits. She watches him fall asleep at the far end of the grain pile, which is presumably so that he can protect it from the thieves at night. And Ruth softly tiptoes over, a little bit like Shaggy in Scooby-Doo, and uncovers his feet and lies down next to him. Well, at midnight, Boaz shivers, turns over to pull the duvet back on, and gets a whiff of Moabite mist, and realizes that there's a girl lying at the end of his bed. It's dark, so he says to her, "Who is it?" And she answers, "It's Ruth, your servant." And the question is, will Boaz respond with moral outrage or outrageous morals? Now, we don't have to wait very long to find out. And Ruth doesn't wait either for Boaz to tell her what to do. Good girl. She slips in a very significant sentence here. She says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a family redeemer." Now, what's she saying? That phrase, "corner of your garment," can also be translated as "the wings of your garment." Spread your wings over me. It's the same word that Boaz used in chapter 2 and verse 12 when he praised Ruth for coming to trust in the Lord, when he praised her for entering a covenant with the Lord. It's the same thing, to enter a relationship, to marry the Lord, if you like. Boaz praises Ruth for taking refuge under the Lord's wings. So this is what Ruth is saying. "Bo, baby, you remember that I said to you, that you said to me, 'Well done for entering a covenant with the Lord.' Well, I was just wondering, baby, how about Bo and Ruthie entering a little covenant together? How about you and I getting hitched? And we'll move in together, and then I'll have your babies, baby. How about that?" And so we see here that Ruth's aim, Ruth's goal, is not a one-night stand, but it's marriage. She's a brave girl, obviously. These are courageous words for someone of her status to ask to him in this situation. And of course, it would have been very easy for Boaz to manipulate the situation. He could have said, "Well, thanks for asking, Ruth. Let's just see if we're compatible. Let's live together first. Come under the covers and we'll talk in the morning." But Boaz is a godly guy, so what does he do? He prays for her. Verse 10. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier." That's coming back from Moab with Naomi. "You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." In other words, he prays and it puts the brakes on any kind of Moabite madness here. Boaz is a godly guy. And notice he doesn't get his guidance for how to live from providence. He doesn't say, "Look, God has obviously put this girl in front of me. It's been a long harvest season. I've worked hard. Here's my reward. It's from God. It's a gift." Now, Boaz gets his guidance from the Bible. He doesn't mistake the opportunity to do something with permission to do it. Now, he knows that God is pro-sex, but only in the marriage context, where a man and a woman won't be wrecked by it. Boaz is a godly guy. He's also a humble guy. He's amazed that Ruth would ask an old codger like him to marry. "Why not ask one of the younger guys? Why didn't you do that?" he says. And he obviously loves Ruth. So he's not too fussed that she's approached him in this pretty irregular way. And Ruth obviously loves him too, enough to follow Naomi's advice and to put herself across his path, even though it was risky. Reminds me of an old story about a single Christian girl called Jenny. Jenny, one rainy day is driving to her church in her two-seater. And ahead of her, at the bus stop, she spots three fellow churchgoers. First is Dr. Samuels, he's a keen churchgoer. And then, secondly, Mrs. Appleby, who's got terrible arthritis. But third of all, she spots Bob. And she's sort of secretly been admiring Bob for quite a few months now. Well, in a flash, Jen hits the brakes, screeches to a halt at the bus stop, gives the keys to Dr. Samuels, carefully lowers Mrs. Appleby into the passenger seat, and waves them off before quickly huddling under the umbrella close to Bob, hoping that the S1 will be just a little bit later than usual. And what we see in that story there is a picture of divine providence and personal responsibility going together. God put Bob under the bus stop. Jenny worked out how to get under the umbrella. Well, Ruth is now under the umbrella with Boaz. No doubt shivering with the cold, but also with a little apprehension, wondering whether she's going to get the cold shoulder. And Boaz says this, "Don't fear, my little Ruthie. Listen to Uncle Bo." Verse 11. Here's what it says. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." In other words, Boaz is willing. He's willing to redeem her. He doesn't have to marry her. The law only obligated brothers to do that, and Boaz is only a sort of distant clan member. There's no legal obligation upon him, but this is a love story. He's willing to marry her because he loves her. Ruthie says, "I will." And the word on the street is that you would make a brilliant wife, because people are saying that you're a woman of character, you're a worthy woman. And of course, that means it's a match made in heaven, because chapter 2, verse 1, we saw that exactly the same language, in the original at least, is there to describe the man of standing, Boaz. He's a worthy man. And so here we find two godly people who are able to walk hand in hand without dragging the other along, saying, "Why don't you come to Bible study with me? Come to church with me." There's no dragging along, because they're both godly. They both love the Lord and each other. Well, at this stage, Ruth's heart must have been all aflutter. But then what she hears in verse 12 must have caused her heart to stop. Boaz says, "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I." Boaz is ready and willing to help. The question is he able to? And that brings us to our third point, verses 13 to the end, that we need to seek a redeemer who is ready to help, willing to help, but is also able to help. Boaz says there's another redeemer, more closely related than I. There's another guy who's legally obligated. I'm willing, but it's got to be done right. See, again, we see here that Boaz is a godly guy. He is ready and willing to get married if it's possible, but he's not going to trample God's law in the process to do it. He's not going to go after what he wants and ignore what God wants, because he knows that what God wants for him is for his best. So he says to Ruth, "Look, stay here tonight. Don't risk the journey home, because it's, after all, it's crazy threshing floor party night. It's dangerous out there." And so she stays to the morning, and in the morning, Boaz, who is concerned for her reputation, says to her, "Look, don't tell anyone you were here, because if you do, they'll assume the worst, and your name will become like mud." But before he sends her off, he loads her with 6 measures, and that, by the way, 6 measures is about 80 pounds, just under 6 stone, of barley. And he sends her off to Naomi, while he goes into the city to sort things out with the other guy. In other words, Boaz is pretty keen. He's keen as mustard, but he treats women well, which is atypical at that time of the judges. See, there's no long string-along engagement for Boaz. He's keen to close the deal, and so off he goes. Meanwhile, Ruth arrives back at Naomi's place. "How's it go?" Naomi asks. And Ruth spills the beans, as well as probably the barley, all over the kitchen floor. And no doubt, Naomi has been up all night fretting. No doubt her conscience has been playing on her, just thinking, what on earth have I done sending Ruth to this risky situation? How is she? Is she going to be okay? But I guess that as the barley spills on the kitchen floor, she gets it. She gets the message. She understands that God loves her people, his people. He loves to bless his people, even the fallen, unwise, sinful people. Why? Because he loves us. And that's why Naomi can stop her scheming and trust the Lord at this point. It's why she can say to Ruth there in verse 18, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Ruth, she says, here's what I want you to do. Nothing. I want you to just relax, rest, leave it to Boaz. And so we leave Naomi and Ruth sitting on deck chairs on the porch, eating their barley soup, sipping their barley water, waiting for Boaz to help. Boaz is ready to redeem. He's willing to redeem them. But is redemption something he's able to do? Well, we'll find out the answer in chapter 4 next week. But I want us to see that Ruth is a love story. It's not a Hollywood. Boaz is an old guy. Ruth is presumably built like a brick Kazi because she's able to carry 6 stone of barley over her shoulders. It's a little bit more like Shrek and Princess Fiona in reverse. But it is a love story. And it points to the love between God and his people. See, Ruth is a picture of what the Lord wants from one of his covenant partners. Someone who is loyal and loving. Someone who mirrors his character. It's not often what he gets from us, but it's what he seeks and it's what he deserves. And Boaz, of course, is a picture of Jesus. That phrase we picked up last week from Charles Spurgeon, that Jesus is our glorious Boaz. He is our divine lover. And we need that lover when we make stupid plans like Naomi. And when we haven't been sexually pure like Boaz. And when we haven't shown the kindness of Ruth for her mother-in-law. And a million other reasons we need that lover. And he is there and forgives all who come to him in true repentance. We need him. We need our glorious Boaz, who is ready to redeem us. Just think how uniquely qualified he is to help us with our great problem of sin. He is qualified because the Son of God took on human flesh, became man. He submitted himself to baptism to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the law. Jesus is ready to help us. And our glorious Boaz is willing to help us. He proved the extent of that as he went to the cross. Having become intoxicated by the cup of God's wrath, which he drank, and having been laid dead in a tomb. If that's not willing to help, I don't know what is. But our glorious Boaz is able to help us. He was woken from the slumber of death. He was raised to the glorious life, and he went into the heavenly city, to pour out his Spirit so that you and I might know forgiveness, and not only forgiveness, communion with God. He covered our sins with his blood, and then he covered us with the robes of his righteous life, so that we are now free to live faithfully, to live like him, to live for him. I don't know whether, like Ruth, you are single and you wish you were married, or maybe you are married and sometimes you wish you were single. But all of us, if we come to Jesus Christ, are invited to become part of the greatest love story ever told. There is a Redeemer for us. He is ready, he is willing, he is able. His name is Jesus, our glorious Boaz. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that not only are you willing to speak to small and sinful people like us, but a whole lot more. And we thank you that you are the one who comes down in the person of your Son to initiate a relationship with us, to call us to be part of this great love story where you are gathering a people from every tribe, language, people, and nation from across the earth to the Lord Jesus Christ. For that day when one day he will return from heaven to collect his bride, and there we will be with him face to face forever. Oh, Father, thank you that you have brought us into this relationship. Thank you that you are keeping us for yourself. And we pray that our eyes would be fixed by faith on our glorious Boaz until that day when he returns and takes us to himself. Amen.